on for us, but do we know the Lord as your Savior? And he did not yet know the Lord as a young man. And I pray that there's no one here. Again, if you're not saved, please do not go back to your room tonight without having accepted Christ as your Savior. And we looked on Tuesday at the Lord. If we're going to follow the Lord, it's good to understand that he is meek and he is lowly. And last night we looked at the fact that as we walk and try to follow the Lord, our love for him must be perfected. And when we realize how much he loves us, and we will, again, perfect love casteth out fear. We will no longer fear those things that the devil wants you to fear. And then tonight, I want to look at this passage in 2 Kings chapter number 6. And we're going to read first 7 verses, all right? And so 2 Kings 6, verse number 1 says, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So we went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Let's pray one more time. Father, Lord, thank you again for your scriptures. Thank you for this privilege. God, you know that I've tried to seek your face very carefully about the messages each and every night. And Lord, I know this is what you'd want me to share tonight. And I just pray that, Lord, you'd hide me. And Lord, lift up your word, lift up your son tonight. Lord, I need you. And I just humbly ask you, Lord, to take, Lord, this vessel, every part of it, and use it for your honor and glory. Lord, speak to hearts. And Lord, again, I prayed, I promised I would. I've been praying all week for those who raised their hand on Monday night that they weren't sure they were saved. Lord, I'm praying again for them, and I pray that they'll know. Now, Father, we love you, and I love you. And I just thank you, Lord, for your blessings on my life, and bless this time. In Christ's name we pray, amen. In this passage of Scripture, Elisha has gathered a group of young men, and they are following Elisha. They're learning from Elisha. They're being trained by Elisha, taught by him, kind of like what we talked to the guys about on Wednesday morning. They just wanted to be close to Elisha. Even when they went down to the river, they said, "Will you go with us?" They wanted his presence around him so they could learn and draw from him and learn all that they could. And they were down there because the place they were staying with Elisha was a little straight, as the Bible says, little packed in there. And so they wanted to put an addition on to wherever they were staying. And so that required some work. And so I praise the Lord. These men wanted to be around a godly man, and they weren't afraid to work, right? And so they went down there, and they started cutting down these beams. Each man was going to cut down a tree and get a beam, and they were going to go back and make them an addition to where they were staying. But as one of them is cutting down his beam, his axe head flies off. And when it does, it lands in the water. Now, they're down by the Jordan, so I assume in the Jordan River. And he looks at that, and that axe head just bloop, and it sinks. And he cries out, and he goes, "Alas, master." And then Elisha runs over there. "What's going on?" He said, "I lost the axe head." And Elisha then, on the whole story, we just read it, but he said, "Where'd you lose it at?" He showed him the place where it fell in the water, and Elisha takes a stick, and he throws it in the water. And when he did, the iron swims to the top. That's pretty impressive, right? You know, I've seen a lot of you throwing. Isn't it something like it's weird? When you walk by the lakes, like there's something in us is like, I must throw something into the lake. It's like burns inside of all of us. There's a rock, ha ha, right? There's a large stick, ha ha, right? As someone who likes to fish, please quit throwing sticks in the lake, right? But anyways, I always have to do it. And I've seen a lot of heavy things go in the water, but I've never seen them swim back to the top. But that axe head swam to the top. And Elisha has to tell him, take it. Because that young man would have probably been a lot like me. That's not normal, right? But take it. And he reached down there and he takes it, all right? Puts it on the axe handle and he continues to work. And say, why would you share that with us? What's the point, all right? Well, my point is this, all right? We've looked at all these different things. You need to be saved. We meek and lowly understand the heart of God. Our love needs to be perfected. And then we get to this point. If we're going to enjoy walking in the will of God and that be the sweetest place on this earth, which it is, we must walk in the power of God. We all need the power of God in our life. You say, yes, these adults, you young people can have the power of God upon your life. Amen. The Bible doesn't say you have to be 47 to in order to have the power of God upon your life. Matter of fact, if you study a little bit of history, so many of the world's greatest revivals that ever started with some young people getting right with God. And it grew and grew and grew. I want to challenge you tonight to ask a simple question. Are you walking in the power of God? He cried out and said, alas, master, I lost the axe head. It was borrowed. And I believe that axe head, in many ways, and I know I'm making an application here, but I want to apply it to the power of God. There's a reason this story is in the Bible, because God wanted us to learn from it. And I want you to think, when we talk about the axe head, that is a picture of the power of God. Because as this guy is doing the work, you notice when he lost the axe head, the work stopped. He couldn't do it. There's lots of people that try to get up and preach, but if you don't have the power of God upon your life, you're wasting your time. I studied, I prayed, I have been praying for a few weeks and what the Lord would have today. I thought I had every day. I wake up thinking, all right, I believe I know the Lord's direction. So what do? I pray. Spent a drive up here praying. Got to the room, and I bowed my head, and I prayed. Because I've got all kinds of sermons. But I don't want to give you a sermon. I want the power of God to be with us tonight.
Amen.
I need that. And I want you to have that. Because when the power of God is working through your life, but most people are just foreign to that. Most Christians are foreign to that. Can you imagine that guy, if he would have kept on trying to cut down that log, you know, without the axe head? Been pretty frustrating. I mean, can you imagine a giant tree sitting here, and here I am, you know, time to cut down. I know the axe head fell off, but, and I keep hitting the tree. You know, all that's going to do is frustrate me, make me exhausted, and probably I'm going to hurt myself. Which is a lot of people in churches today who are trying to do everything without the power of God in their life, and they're frustrated in their Christian life, they're hurting, and they're not seeing anything getting done. You see, the power of God changes everything. And I want us to know what the power of God is in our life. And so that's something that God gives freely. You don't have to go and be like, you know, I really, you know, it's going to take me 50 years to earn the power of God. God wants to work through us. When I say the power of God, you do not have to sit in a circle, draw a circle around you, and just stop and say, all right, I'm going to pray till I get the power of God. That's not what it is. The power of God is just the Holy Ghost working through you. We grieve the Holy Spirit with choices in our life, which hinders the working of God in our life. We don't need no second blessing. There is no second blessing in the Bible. The moment you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you ever need and ever will get. He indwells you as a believer. The only question is, how much of you have you yielded to Him? And I want to encourage you to learn, because the Christian life will get frustrating without the power of God in your life. The Christian life, you'll probably get hurt, because if you don't have the power of God in your life. So this guy, I believe, represents something. He represents, and I think this axe head, the power of God working in our life. And the fact is this, and I hope you'll stick with me through the sermon, but you can lose that. Now understand, the moment that you and I got saved, the book of Peter promises this, that God has given to us all things that pertain unto godliness. I didn't get a leg up on you, and you didn't get a leg up on anybody else. God didn't say, all right, you want to live a godly life? On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give you a 9, I'll give you 3, I'll give you 5. All right, work it out. That's not what he did. When you got saved, he gave you everything you need to live a godly life. And we have no excuses not to live a godly life. God has given the Holy Spirit who wants to work through us. And when I make this next statement, don't get ahead of me, you can lose the power of God working through your life. You cannot lose your salvation. You're never going to lose the Holy Spirit. But it's His working through you. His power. Because we all need that. And this guy, he's cutting down this beam. The axe head flies off, and I'm thankful that he stopped and he said, I got to do something about this. He was in the right place doing all the right things with the right people, and all of you are too. Can I just pause and say this? I have bragged about you all to a whole lot of people. I talked to our missionaries today. We've got 6 of them out of our church, and I was talking to all of them on a group thing, and I said, pray for tonight, please. Pray for tomorrow morning. Pray for these services. And I said, but this is a good group of kids. And I meant that. I'm not trying to fluff you up or anything, right? If you were evil, I'd say, you're an evil group of kids, right? I've said that before, right? I was at this chapel service one time at a Christian school, and I was preaching, and every one of the high schoolers were on their phones while I was preaching. And I just stopped and got quiet, and they all looked at me, and I said, you're wicked. And they were like, what? And all the teachers were also on their phones. I said, and you teachers are wicked too. I never got invited back to that Christian school. So I'm just telling you, if you were bad, I tell you bad. I have no problem doing that, all right? But you love the Lord. I believe you all that came up here and sang in that choir, I believe your heart means that. I've watched you, I've observed you, and I'm thankful for you. You're doing all the right things in all the right places around all the right people. But you need the power of God in your life. Because without the power of God in your life, life will get very frustrating. You're going to get hurt. We all get hurt. But the power of God gives you the strength to get through those hurts. We're all going to, you get frustrated if you don't have the power of God in your life. You're like, I'm working, and nothing's getting done. I think it's a lot of reasons why there's a lot of people that they preach, and they don't have the power of God in their life, and they just want to quit. And they said, it's just too much. With the power of God in your life, you're going to see God do great things. We need it. And I want you to consider a few things. Before we look at this story again, I'm just give you a couple of verses. Zechariah chapter number 4, verse number 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 13, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 5, that faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, in all things approving ourselves, the ministers of God, by the word of the Lord, by the power of God. We need the power of God in our life. And I want you to see a couple things in this story. Won't be long. Number one, look at the verse in verse number 5. It says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Number one, the axe head, and every time I say axe head, I want you to think about the power of God. Y'all with me? All right? The axe head was borrowed. It wasn't his power. wasn't his gifts, wasn't his tools. The power of serving God. And I think you're, I thank the Lord for this group. I think you're good kids. And so I think you can handle what I'm about to say. I couldn't preach this, I don't think, everywhere, right? But the power of God and the power for serving God, it's from Him and only Him. Mm-hmm. We have nothing, look at me, we have nothing that we did not receive, if it's good, from God. I cannot get up tonight in my own wisdom and in my own power. If I do, just go home. It's going to be a waste of time. That's why I got on my face today and said, please, God, work. Because through His power, great things can be done. It's not my might. It's not my effort. It's not my ideas. It's not my wisdom. It's not my athletic ability. It is His power that I need in my life. So many people sit and they think, maybe God's calling me to do something, but I don't know the Bible like they do. I'm not a good orator like they are. I don't know funny jokes like they do. I can't hardly get up and talk to people. You're looking at someone, right? When it comes to my family and my siblings, I just have been. I was on the bottom of the charisma pole there in our family. My dad would we would go visiting anytime if we got in a hospital elevator. By the time that we were done and we got to the third floor, everyone in the elevator was laughing. That's just who my dad was. He was just that way. My sister Crystal's that way. She was hilarious. She would. If she was in a room, just her and a door, the doorknob would have a good conversation with her. I mean, it's just the way she was. She's hilarious. Rachel, my youngest sister, she's very more outgoing. And I struggled with that. And when God was calling me to preach, I was like, Because in my mind, here's the first thing I thought. I thought, I could never be like my grandpa. I can't be like my dad. And you know what? I was right. But God didn't want me to be my grandpa. God didn't want me to be my dad. Amen. He wanted to use me. Amen. And with His power, great things can happen. I need this, but we need it from God. There's so many Christians trying to live the Christian life without the power of God. It's frustrating. There's so many churches that are trying to do things and try to accomplish things for the Lord. And if they're doing it in their own power, and their own fervency, and their own ingenuity, and they don't have the power of God, it's going to get frustrating. That's why the Bible talks about in the last days, it's something we're going to see more and more. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and verse number 5 says, having a form of what? Godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof. That's a scary verse to me. Because, you know, we always think like, yeah, it's those elevation churches. That's all those crossroad churches where they're having their rock concerts and all their, you know, coffee bars everywhere and they go out in the foyer and drink alcohol. That really happens. That's sad, right? Now I got news for you. That's not having a form of godliness. That's not godly. There's nothing godly about that. There are some camps where they're all getting together and they're all dressed immodestly and they're all over each other and they're doing all kinds of carnal things and the music's just thump, 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 and they're all just jumping around and their flesh is so happy. That's not godly. Your music tonight is godly. So it's possible to have a form of godliness but no power. I'm looking at a row of young men. They look godly. There's some great young ladies here, dressed right, living right, respectful. Praise the Lord for all of those things. But is the power of God upon your life? Is He working? Do you know He's working through you in this way? And there's so many churches that are going through the motions and Christians that are going through the motions. This guy was cutting down a tree and he was just doing all the right things. But I don't want you to leave this week saying, all right, I need to be in the will of God. And if I say, yes, I'll be in the will of God, then everything's going to be sweet. No, you got to walk that way. You got to talk. You got to let the Holy Spirit be in control of your life. And that is not something, I praise the Lord, if people come forward tonight and say, God, I want to surrender, amen for that. But everybody look at me again. That's a daily thing we have to do. I've got a prayer list, and I've shared some of the other things I do in my daily walk. I do have a prayer list, and I will go over that prayer list at times and just call these different things out to God. And on my prayer list, it says Stacy, it says Alex, it says Grace, it says Hope, that's my wife and my children. It says my in-laws, it says my mom. Actually, it says Mum, because I changed it the day my dad died, and I was in England when my dad died. And so I put Mum. I don't know why, I just did it. And then it has, underneath that, it says this. It says total surrender. Because every day I have to stop and say, all right, Lord, I'll mess this up. And I need to surrender to God. And I want God's power to work through my life. And this guy, he was doing all this work. And if you want to walk in the sweet will of God and find that joy and contentment, you need the power of God in your life. You say, Brother Burke, we're just teenagers. I know. God wants to work through you. But you need, it comes from God. Number one, it's borrowed. Number two, it was lost. Verse number five, again, axe head falls off. Again, we're not talking about your salvation. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. You can't lose. But you can lose the power of God working in your life. If you want to do anything, me, I want to preach with the power of God in my life. I want to teach with the power of God in my life. I want to pray with the power of God in my life. I want to evangelize with the power of God in my life. I want to counsel others with the power of God in my life. You need the power of God. I need the power of God. And if all that sweetness we're talking about, that joy, that peace, that direction, that conviction, and all these things, it only comes from the power of God working your life. Now, he lost it. How did he lose it? Well, it fell in the water. He was just doing his thing, and it fell in the water. And I believe there's so many young people and adults that the power of God has been lost in indulging in their own pleasures, entertainment in an evil, things put before your face and your eyes, evil habits, laziness, carnality. The fact is this, again, you don't have to sit and beg for the power of God. You just do right and surrender and walk in the direction of the Spirit of God, and you'll have the power of God. But it's lost through our poor choices when we grieve that Holy Spirit of God. When we begin to live a carnal life and an ungodly life. I went home last night, and I actually this morning I was leaving, and I told my wife, I was just like, she goes, did you get the fish? I said, yes, I caught 5 fish. And I said, I haven't seen anybody catch a bigger one than me. Until now. All right, thanks, brother, all right? And, that was a huge fish. I love fishing. That's why she asked me. I've always gone fishing. And my grandpa took me fishing in the summers when I was old enough to go every Tuesday. But every Monday night, because my grandpa was he didn't spend anything. My grandpa, he was so frugal, he really thought it was a sin to buy a bottle of water. He said, it comes out of your faucet. You're wasting the money God's giving you. Anyways, right? The thought of paying for worms, never. God put them all out there. So we had to go find them on Monday nights. So Monday nights, we go out there, and then we waited till it got dark, put a little flashlight between our teeth, and then we get out on all fours, and we crawl around very gently. You don't just tromp because the worms go back in the ground. How many of you have hunted night crawlers? Oh, you got me. All right, yeah, all right. The rest of you need to do it because it's an art, right? Because you're going, you have to go slowly because you stomp too hard to go back in the ground. And you do it, and then you spot one. There he is. And then you reach slowly because they're not like laying out there. It's just their head sticking out. And you just go, boom. And you don't just yank it out because if you do, it's going to rip in half. And that's a waste, right? So you hold it. And you just kind of pull up slowly. That worm's like, and finally the ground releases the worm and you're like, Eureka! And you put it, we always held, my grandpa always used empty milk jugs. He'd cut them off halfway, the loop, you rang your belt through the loop, and then you drop the worms in there. He never spent a penny on unnecessary, right? And so we gathered these worms. But one night, I'll never forget it, my grandpa caught a worm and he goes, whoa. He said, he called me Travis John. He said, Travis John, look at this. I turned around. He goes, you see this? I was like, yes, sir. He goes, what do you see? I was like, a worm. I had no idea what he was talking about. He goes, it's covered in dirt. And I was just like, it's a worm, right? Yeah. He goes, no, he said, look in your bucket. And I looked down there. None of the worms had dirt on them. That one did. He said, listen to me. You get a quick lesson. He said, when the dirt sticks to the worm, because God made them where the dirt wouldn't stick to them, when the dirt sticking to them, they're sick. And he threw it out in the yard. And he turned around and he said, don't forget that. When the world's sticking to you, there's something not right in your heart. Good group of kids. And I hope you know I say this because I love you. Some of you, the world's sticking a little bit. Some of the words, some of the jokes. When the world's sticking to you, there's something not right in the heart. I want you to live in the power of God, and that's the only way you're going to find that sweetness that we're talking about, is when His power is working through you. But you're not going to have it when you live a carnal life. It can be lost. When we make these wrong choices and we live in a worldly life, this power can be lost. But I want to point out a few things about this, and I love this about him real quick. Number one, he was concerned. He said, alas, master. He did not want to go on without it. And he cried out, Elisha, please come here, help me. If you feel like the power of God's not in your life, I want you to cry out to the Lord tonight. Let's get it right tonight. Let's cry out to him. At least he was concerned. At least he didn't say, I'll just keep doing this without it, right? And trying to do something or hide it. I thought of all kinds of scenarios when I was thinking on this sermon. You know, he could have, you know, if it's me, and if I'm not going to actually be honest, I'm going to, like, turn a different direction and be like, hey, I'm still working. Yeah. Like, no one can see. I'm just as good as you guys. Trying to hide it. Some people are trying to hide it. Hey, let's get together and pray. Well, you know, what's wrong? Let's go soul winning. I got stuff to do that night. What's wrong? You can try to hide it. If you got the power of God working through your life, you won't have a problem falling on your face and talking to God. You won't have a problem taking a gospel tract and handing it to somebody and being a witness to them. Have the power of God in your life. And at least he was concerned enough to cry out. The saddest part to me is this. Now catch this real quick. The saddest part to me is that there's a lot of Christians that they don't even realize they've lost it. And it's possible. One of the saddest verses in the Bible to me is there in the book of Judges, when the Bible says of Samson, when finally Delilah had all the hair cut off, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he rose up as other times before, but he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't realize it. But he lost the power of God. He didn't realize he lost it until he needed it. It's easy to go through the motions and be doing things and not even realize you've lost the power of God until all of a sudden you need it. And I want to stop and I want you to think with me, why did Samson lose this? And remember these three things, young people, ready? Samson wist not the Lord was departed. He lost the power of God. And the three things that I pulled out of his life that led to this was, number one, he lost respect for authority. He started saying, I don't care what you say, mom and dad, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what God has said, I'm going to do what I want to do. When you lose respect for the spiritual authorities in your life, you're going to lose the power of God in your life. He not only lost respect for authority, but secondly, he lost his realm of separation. Remember, there are certain things he wasn't supposed to do, certain things he wasn't supposed to touch, certain places he wasn't supposed to go. And one by one by one, he went against those. Till finally, when his head was shaven, and he lost all those areas of separation that God had given to him. Listen, you say, I don't have to be holy to go to heaven. You're right. But if you know right, and you know the Word of God, but you choose not to live a holy life, you're not going to have the power of God in your life. Mm-hmm. When you begin to lose your areas of separation, young people, live a holy life. When he lost respect for authority, when he lost his realm of separation, and when he lost his relationship with Christ. It's really sad. I'm not talking about necessarily a salvation thing. We can talk about that later with Samson. The only time he ever talked to God, the only time Samson ever talks to God, he wants to complain or he wants revenge. And if the only time you ever pray is to tell God your problems and ask God to do something, someone else is hurting you, bothering you, or they hurt me, God, when your prayer life is only about complaining and revenge, selfishness, you'll have no power of God in your life. So Samson lost these things. And this guy, he cried out and said, he was concerned about it. I'm thankful for that. I see we good things here. And secondly, he stopped chopping. That's important. It might do some of us some good to quit going through all the motions. You know, this message, by the way, adults, a few years ago, studying this, and God helped me with this. I needed this. I'm just being straight with you. I was tired. I was worn out. A lot of problems we were going through. And I was going through a lot of motions, and God said, just stop. And I just spent some time with God, and God changed my life.
Amen.
One of the best things you can do sometimes, and please do not take this as an excuse to quit serving God, right? I'm not saying that. But I was working a bus route. I was doing my nursing homes. I was pastoring. I was teaching. I was going to a prison. I was at all these things going on, and I was struggling. And I had to get someone else to do my bus route. And I had someone else go to nursing homes. So what'd you do? I stopped and spent some time with God. You can keep going through the motions, but all you're going to do, just like beating a tree with a stick, you're going to get nothing done. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get upset. And you know what happens in churches today? Churches try to substitute the power of God through emotions, through music, wrong music, through reading, or I'm going to go to read this guy's books, I'm missing something, or going to some other doctrine or something like that, or getting busier. Those things do not help. Just get alone with God. Stop. Because it's so much sweeter when the power of God's working in your life.
Amen.
On Saturday, we had work day at church. There are things I'm good at. I can study. I'm pretty good at basketball and coaching. I'm pretty good at fishing. I'm pretty good at, this is weird, I can untangle jewelry. My girls always brought me jewelry, and I was just like, and they can do it. I have a gift. You know, there's things I can do. There's things, a lot of things I can't do. I can't do construction. I'm terrible. You gave me a hammer and a nail and told me to drive it through that. It's going to be a process, all right? I just missed that, all right? I was never taught anything, all right? And so we're putting this fence together to put around our air conditioner Saturday at the church. And so I took that job. I can handle this. It's from Amazon, all right? Easy. It says easy directions. And so I'm sitting there. I put all these posts in there. And you take, and you have to screw in the screws. And I'm just like, and I'm proud of myself. Dun, 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 dun. And the guy next to me, he's like, whew, I got one done. I'm like, what? I had like two little fences on there, and he has done with 10 of them. I was like, how'd you do that? He goes, I just drilled them in there. I was like, you what? Because in the instructions, it said a screwdriver. And he's just like, nah, man. We're like, zzz, 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 zzz. I was like, whoo. I knocked that thing out. I felt like a man. I was just like, yeah. That was fun, man. It was cool. All right. You say, you didn't know to do that? Don't judge me. All right. I was following the instructions. It had a screwdriver. All right. You know, it was amazing how much better that was when I had the right tool. Some of you are just like, I don't want to serve God. It's so hard. It's so not with the power of God in your life. And I want you to get a hold of that. He stopped chopping. He stopped and said, I'm going to fix this. We need to do something. And not only was he concerned and he stopped chopping, but this is where I want you to get tonight. Verse number 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. The third thing under this point is this. He was concerned. He stopped chopping. Everybody catch this. He knew where he lost it. If you want the power of God back in your life, and I'm talking to adults, young people, you need to be like David and cry out, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Ask God. But the reality is, if you'll just stop and do some real talking to God, you'll know where you lost it. You'll know where you lost it. Because when you started having that conversation with that person that always likes to gossip, and you just got involved in it. It's when you were sitting in your room late at night and you had access to something that you probably shouldn't have, and you looked at some screens that you shouldn't have looked at. It's when your parents were about to catch you and you hid something and started to lie about it. You'll know where you lost it. If you'll just stop and be honest with God, you say, well, I'm just really not sure. Then cry out like David, search me. This I found, that if you'll ask God, he'll show you. But ask God. He knew right where, he said, right there. And the reality is this, that if you don't have the power of God in your life and you're saved, then you need to stop and get alone with God tonight and say, all right, God, what do I need to go back to? How do I need to fix this?
Amen.
Young people, where fell it? Adults, where fell it? Where did we begin to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. He knew right where he lost it. It was borrowed, it was lost. Third thing, the iron swam. Verse number 6, he threw that stick in there, and the iron did swim. Now in my mind, I know it wasn't that case. I just know that probably, it just means it floated. But wouldn't it be cool if that axe head just like, doop, 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 doop. But it didn't, right? It just poof, came to the top. And I'm done with the sermon. I just give these last points. When he threw that stick in the water, the impossible happened. How did that iron float? The power of God. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that can happen. And if you'll just get alone with God and say, God, I know where it fell. I know where I got off track. God, I confess this. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to go back. I need the power of God in my life. You watch. So where do I? You go back to the cross. And thank God all of our sins were covered on the cross of Calvary. We get it right. Maybe in your mind you began to be bitter at someone years ago over something, and God's all ringing that in your heart right now. Then go back. Forgive them. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I don't know where it was that it fell for you, but get it right if that's the case, and run to Him, and God's power will show itself. All we have to do is confess it, look to the cross, and God will begin to work. And the last point is this. It always kind of makes me laugh. The iron swam to the top, and Elisha had to say, "Take it." Can I really have that? Yes. Unless he had super, super long arms, he reached down. And he took the axe head back. And he continued doing the work. But now, he got something done. Now, he felt good about it. And when that tree didn't record it, they go into another story. But when that tree fell, I'm sure he cried out, "Timber!" Just kidding, he didn't, right? But when that tree fell, he looked at that axe. Wow. Wow. I could not have done this if it weren't for God doing a work in my life. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine when he took it back to wherever it belonged to? Hey, did it work out for you? I got a story to tell you, right? I want all of you to go home, and I want all of you to look at your parents. I want all of you to look at your church. I want all of you in the next few months to be able to stop and say, "Let me tell you something. Something changed in my life. And the power of God's been working in my life, and it truly is living for the Lord the sweetest thing on the face of the earth. Because I'm saved. I'm in a good place with good people, doing all the right things. My Lord wants to use me. He's meek and lowly. He understands, and I can run to Him. My love is being perfected. The more I realize how He loves me, it just makes me love Him more. My fear's gone. I'm not worried about the rapture. I'm not worried about standing before the Lord, and my relationships with others is good. I'm not afraid of rejection. And the power of God is at work in my life. That person is singing, "To God be the glory." That person is going out on visitation. That person has a smile on their face and a joy in their heart. That person has experienced how the will of God and the walk with the Lord is the sweetest place on earth. Do you have the power of God? If not, where fell it? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You.